And right now, ladies and gentlemen, let us talk. Let us begin our weekly series that will take you all the way from here to where's as far as the Mavericks travel.
Mid-June for the finals.
I would like to say all the way to mid-June. It is the voice of the Mavericks. It is our friend. It is Mark Folliwell, and he joins us now on the ticket. Do I have to say anything else, Mr. Mino?
That's it.
Hi, Mark.
Touchdown, Arthur Jefferson!
North Mesquite Lake Highlands, probably 1997 or 1998. I don't remember which year.
Did Arthur go on to play college football, Mark? Do we know what happened to Arthur?
He played at Louisiana Tech as a kick returner and wide receiver for a little while.
I love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't have many other details or background information on that. But why didn't we hear more about North Texas's big move in the last segment, by the way, to the American Athletic Conference that was announced?
You know, we got caught up in the life of Rich Phillips and how he likes to talk.
The real estate market.
NASCAR, I know. Yeah. I heard.
Talladega.
That's huge, though, right? Huge news.
That is huge news, man. I'm excited about that. So.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool for North Texas. And SMU for that.
There are, as I said today, winners and losers in every one of these little conference realignment shakeups, which seems like they're averaging about once per decade now or so. And our good friends in Denton, our Rich's alma mater and my alma mater, were winners today. So it was nice.
Boy, what a conflict you guys must feel. It's even worse than when the Packers and Cowboys square off and everybody has to remind me where I'm from. I mean, you guys, you're in the booth for SMU. What a sleeper cell that must have presented.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago for me. So that was 2 years. I have not experienced the 23-win, 8-year stretch that Rich was referring to, and then the rebirth of the program. So, but I do remember actually listening to – I was very excited for them when they went to their first bowl game post-death penalty. And I believe it was an Aloha Bowl in Hawaii the same night that we had an ice storm here on Christmas Eve. So that was a little bit odd. Yep. Yeah, probably like 2009 or 10 or something like that. So,
well, how
weird
are we feeling?
I remember.
Yeah, well, you remember it all. By the way, is your college football, are those days gone now that the basketball season starts?
Yeah, my last game with our good buddy Matt Millen was Rutgers and Northwestern this past Saturday. So a big 21-7 win for Northwestern over Rutgers to perhaps get them back on the track to going to a bowl game for the sixth time in 7 years.
Look out, so, Michigan!
So no immediate high stress three games and 2.5 day stretches for you coming up.
I know you like the Dallas games left, so I have a game 6 days in a row next week between Mavs and our good friend Frisco.
That's the follow I know. Perfect. All right, so we get going tonight.
We do.
I'm irrationally geeked up for everything because I've been watching basketball nonstop the last two nights, and enjoying the league being back and just all that that entails, and kind of getting a look at, oh, this guy's over here now, and you know, all the pieces moving around. But now the big one, Mavs and Hawks go tonight, and kind of put the picture in the frame there, just in terms of all the anticipation, all of the upheaval. It's finally time to start playing real basketball, Mark.
Well, what I'm excited about is we've heard all of this positive talk. I mean, everything that has been said, as you would expect during the preseason, has been very good. I've watched practices. I can, you know, corroborate what has been said about communication is good and the vibe is good and the mood and everything around practice has been great. Obviously, the preseason games were nice, but, you know, they're preseason games, man, and we all get what that's all about. So my excitement level tonight is to see everything like in a real setting. That's you know, and I'm sure that's everybody's. I mean, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking there, but everything's been great so far in the preseason and training camp. But now we'll know things in a real setting, and we'll know things like, how's Jason Kidd going to close the game, and how big of a rotation are we going to see? Is it a 9-man or a 10-man or 11 or whatever it's going to be? And, you know, will he change, you know, five guys out and five guys in? Will they do like kind of a hockey line change sort of thing and have a second team? Or will KP play a lot with a second team to anchor them on offense? I mean, all of those questions that don't get answered in the preseason at least start to get answered tonight in a real setting. So that would be the thing that I'm most excited about.
So everybody, you know, talks about defense and how this thing has got to get better defensively, and it's easier said than done. And it's I feel that, you know, the hardest thing to do in professional sports is to play defense in the NBA. It's really, really difficult. Just from the rules to these guys are really freaking good. And it's very, very hard. And, you know, I wonder how much of it is just from the Jason Kidd standpoint, more of just it's just guys, this is effort. It may be a little bit of philosophy, but this boils down to busting your balls.
Well, I certainly think that's some of it, but I do think that there are some, and again, we'll probably see a little bit more of this in practice tonight, because as you guys know, you've talked many a Cowboy preseason game over your years on the air and know that things in the preseason are pretty vanilla. And you would say the same thing about what NBA teams do. They're not going to put a lot of cards on the table and put things on film that people can scout for games that actually count. So I think there will be some things that look a little bit different from team defensive concepts, but a lot of what's going to happen is along the lines of what you said, which is, you know, it just has to be a focus and everybody has to buy in because, as we know, 21st last year in defensive rating and 18th the year before, as I've said to you guys many times, and I'm not the only person who said this, Jake said it also, that the template for being an NBA championship contender is a top 10 offensive rating and a top 10 defensive rating. I think that's why when you guys asked me about Brooklyn late last year, and of course they were a toenail on the line away from winning that series with Milwaukee, but that 23rd defensive rating that they had in the league last year was something that just stuck out to me that I thought, well, that's, you know, if they win, then they're really going to be an outlier. So it's obviously something of extreme importance for the Mavs to at least get to around the top 10 this year in defensive rating if we're talking about serious high-level contention, which, by the way, you haven't asked me, but along those lines, I do keep getting asked about, you know, what the ceiling for the team is and all that sort of thing. And just to interject this in, I don't want to sound like manage expectations guy, but I guess that's probably what I'm going to be. I think the conversation needs to be take one step that you haven't taken in over 10 years before we start having even bigger conversations than that. You know, I'm sure that every player will say if you pull them aside, well, of course, we're competing to win a championship. And those are great things to hear. But when you haven't won a playoff series in over a decade now and got as close as you did last year, then I think that's kind of the step that you need to be focused on. And then see where you are when that happens, who's left to play, who's healthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
yeah.
To me, it's win 50.
And right.
You know what? I probably stole this from you, Mark, now that I think about it. Because if you win 50, then you are aligned in the seeding in a spot that certainly sets you up to win in the first round of the playoffs. So I don't want to, you know, make 1 and 2 necessarily mandatory and linked, but I think they kind of are. Win 50,
yep.
That probably gives you home court in round one. Win a round, and then we'll get we'll dream a big dream after that. But I think that would be my specific definition of a successful year.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing to add. I think we're totally on the same page there.
And you feel like 50 is home court in round one usually? I know
it's close. I think 50 puts you in probably the 4-5 matchup, which is of course what they were in last year. In a 72 game season, they went 42-30. So I think 50 puts you in the ballpark of the 4-5 matchup. Now there have been some years, of course, as you guys know, that 50 has been the 7th or 8th seed.
Sure.
But I don't feel like that's necessarily what they're looking at this year. I think when 50-ish and you're in the 4-5 seed, or you're in the 4-5 range, and that series is generally speaking a toss up. I think that history would show that the 4th seed maybe wins that series 55% of the time and the 5 seed wins it the other 45%. So if you're in and what is in essence a coin flip series, then you know that's where you want to be. It's where you get into 6 and then even worse than that, 7 and 8, where the Mavs have been for this past decade when they've made the playoffs for the most part, which is why, you know, they're not advancing.
This is Mark Folliwell with us, the voice of the Mavericks here on the Hardline. In fact, just about every Thursday for a long, long time, he will join us again. And I think it's pretty safe to say nobody's been on this version of the Hardline more because Well, he's been on a lot, and we like it that way.
Maybe Rachel Nevada.
Oh, possibly. But he's in the mix, okay, for sure. Kind of a weird question, but it's Trae Young tonight and so forth. So the Mavericks have put together a lot of defensive able wings. We think they've even added to that again with Bullock, and they have a lot of guys who can cover the average NBA scorer. But as I was watching Ja Morant last night, and I think of Trae Young today, who is the ideal defender for that archetype, that 6-foot point guard who is it the same answer? I'm curious what you think of that.
The ideal defender on the Mavericks?
Yes. Who will have Trae Young tonight most of the time?
My assumption would be Finney Smith along with Bullock whenever he comes into the game off the bench, and it wouldn't surprise me if Sterling Brown got an opportunity against him for a few minutes as well. And if you were going to say this would be a night when you would start playing situational rotation players that aren't among your top 9 or 10, maybe this is a night that you throw Neal Aquina out there. So that's a wild card. That didn't work for Tibbs, by the way, when he tried to do that in the playoffs last year, cold on the last play of the game or whatever it was, or very, very late in the game when he tried to do that. But maybe that would be something that you would try tonight. But if I may suggest to you, because I did a little bit of pre-hardline segment research, since I'm not on the telecast, since there's no local broadcast tonight.
Did a little bit of research,
about that. So
we want it, and we want it all.
Trae Young last year against the Mavs, 23 points, 12 assists per game, 40% shooting, 37% from three. So that isn't anything that is going to get everybody all, you know, massively scared and concerned tonight, although, of course, he could go off for a big game at any time, as we know. But let me share with you this name. John Collins was an absolute Mavs killer tonight, so let's watch for that this evening, because in two games last year, albeit both Mavs wins, Collins averaged 34 points, 10 rebounds, and went 29 for 39 from the floor, which is a cool 74.4%.
That sounds like a lot of dunks.
I love that guy. Yeah. I love his game so much.
And I do too, but I want to caution you.
What?
That I swear Mavs people, it's like Tim Salmon and the Rangers, right?
Because he does it to you?
Yes. I've seen John Collins against like Milwaukee and other teams, and you're like, you know, I like him.
He had a really good playoff run, dude.
I'm not trying to cheapen him. I'm simply saying when you talk to Mavs people about John Collins, they really like John Collins.
I think you thumb your nose.
I think Mark just explained it.
I think you thumb your nose at anybody.
When you say 34 points and 74% shooting, I mean, it's hard not to like the guy.
But I think Bob is already beginning to thumb his nose at any player that the Bucks vanquished as being a lesser human.
No, stop. Not at all.
By the way,
not at all.
Last year, and I think this guy may come off the bench tonight. Since Atlanta hasn't played a game, we don't know their lineup, but I guess it's probably, what, Trae Young, Bogdanovich, either DeAndre Hunter or Kevin Huerter starts as the other wing, and then John Collins and Clint Capella. So maybe DeAndre Hunter, the kid from Virginia, starts, and Kevin Huerter comes off the bench. But in two games against the Mavs last year, Kevin Huerter, 22 points a game, 57% from the floor. So that guy also was a big pain in the ass last year.
Do you think Kevin Huerter goes to gyms and there are people like at Lifetime Fitness that are like, I got this guy.
I would think he could hustle.
Looks like Jason Garrett.
Yeah. I think his Venice Beach pickup game is probably quite nice.
Hey, can we? Do you have time to hold you over? I want to talk about the Bob Volgara stuff that dropped today and the noise that's kind of emanated from that direction. Do you have time for that?
I have time for whatever you guys need.
Yes. All right, let's get into all of that Haralabob mess next with Mark.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.